Welcome to Women Entrepreneurs Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Bailey. And when I started this show in 2008, I was on a mission to promote women-owned businesses and help women succeed by providing resources and valuable tips from other women and men, small business owners. In each interview, my guests speak openly about their triumphs, the scary times, and tough decisions they have to make along the way. Women Entrepreneurs Radio is about showing women how to harness their natural strengths to achieve success on their own terms. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Women Entrepreneurs Radio, and I'm your host, Deborah Bailey. I'm really glad that you could join me today. And if you're listening to this on Podomatic, then also hopefully you'll check the show out on iTunes. And if you want the link for that, then you go to the website, womenentrepreneursecrets.com, and click on radio in the menu bar, and you will see links for all the different places that you can listen to the show. It's also some of the older shows, and some new ones too, are also on Libsyn, and also some are on YouTube, and also posted on LinkedIn. So there's some other places you can catch up with the show. But for the most part, it is on iTunes, so if you're on there, if you would like to leave a review, that would be great. Really appreciate that, because of all the algorithms going on behind the scenes there, it always helps to have more reviews on the show. Or also, of course, you can leave feedback on the WomenEntrepreneurSecrets.com website, or if there's any shows or topics you'd like to hear more about. So certainly I'll leave some feedback there as well. That would be great. I really appreciate it. So I'm going to get started today with my guest. Lori Pickard is the founder of the No Pay MBA website, which has been featured in Fortune, Entrepreneur, Financial Times, The Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, Business, and CNN Money. She's also the author of Don't Pay for Your MBA, The Faster, Cheaper, Better Way to Get the Business Education You Need, in which she shares insights, strategies, and tips for making the most of massive open online courses, MOOCs, from top business schools for career advancement and entrepreneurial success. In addition to advising self-directed learners worldwide, Lori has leveraged her self-made MBA into a successful career as a business and entrepreneurship development consultant. Most recently as a private sector development advisor for the U.S. Agency for International Development in Rwanda. So welcome to the show, Lori.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So this topic was, you know, really intriguing to me, because I have certainly read posts or heard people talk about getting the MBA, whether you should, whether you shouldn't, do you need it for your business, that kind of thing. So this always seems to be a bit of a debate for some people. So I'm really, you know, really interested to hear your take on it. But, you know, before we get started, if you could just share a little bit about how you – you know, got started, what you're doing, what your journey has been as a business owner.
Sure. So what got me started, so I was working in international development. That has been my career up to this point. I was really interested in some of the roles in the field that were focused on private sector businesses and partnership between government and aid agencies and private sector businesses. But I felt like I didn't have the kind of business background to be competitive for those jobs. So I knew that I wanted to stay in the field of international development, but I didn't think that it was really worth it for me to go back to school, get a second master's, take more time out of the workforce, and in particular to take on a bunch of debt to get this credential. And what I really needed, I felt, was the knowledge. So as I was kind of debating whether or not to get an MBA, this was just at the time that MOOCs were becoming popular, and mm-hmm. I had a friend who was taking a course, and he actually had an MBA in finance, and I was having a conversation with him, and I hadn't yet heard of MOOCs at this point, and he would just casually mention that he was taking a course from a world-famous finance professor and that it was free. And the way that he talked about the quality of this course and the excitement that he had as somebody who had an MBA in finance, who had sat in a business school classroom, done the real MBA, and how how impressed he was with the quality of this free content really got me thinking about, well, wow, maybe I could actually just put together the business education that I want to have. Maybe I could just put that together myself and not spend the money to get it. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I did.
Wow. And they're called MOOCs.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's a kind of a silly acronym. I sort of think that maybe that I'm sort of hoping that maybe that acronym is going to fade away and we'll start calling these courses something else. But right. For now, that's what it is.
Yeah, because I was like, okay, do you really read it that way, or do you? So I guess you do. It's well, that's something I hadn't. That's a reference I hadn't heard before, so that's interesting. But you know, I'm pretty sure that in time, some other name is going to come up, because it usually does once people start to know more about it, and then someone comes up with some other name or something, and then suddenly, you know, that's how people refer to it. But I totally can understand the idea of designing your own education, because it seems to make a lot of sense considering costs and things like that. And, you know, I'm just kind of curious about your take. I mean, right now from an entrepreneurship perspective, there's so much talk about online classes. A lot of people are creating them for various reasons. You know, do you feel in what you're doing that this online, I guess, class revolution, that this really is something that's going to continue to grow, or do you think it's something that hasn't really hit its stride yet?
This is such an interesting, I love the way you framed this question, because normally when I get a question like this, it's about kind of from the university's perspective, like will universities keep creating these courses and what effect will this have on traditional universities? But I love that you've kind of taken this from another angle, which is there space for entrepreneurs in this world? And I think that there is. It's pretty exciting to see, you know, most of the classes that I took as part of my business education that I put together were classes from universities. But as I continued in my education, I started taking more classes from platforms where it was kind of user-generated content, where business owners and subject matter experts who are not university professors were creating courses. And I started to find so much value in those, especially as I started transitioning my website from a simple blog site to an e-commerce site. That I found that these kinds of courses that were created by small business owners were so useful to me as somebody who was setting up a small business.
Wow, that's good to hear. That's really good to hear, you know, because I think it's been very interesting seeing all this happen, because, you know, I could just speak from my own experience when I was taking some what they called commercial writing courses at a local county college. I just kind of wanted to go back and kind of get more into my fiction writing. So that's what I was doing in person. And that, you know, there's a lot of pluses to writing and writing groups and things where you interact. But then after a while, what they did was decide to take that kind of offline. And then they had this one company that was, I believe it's based in California, that was kind of running these different classes on behalf of different schools, you know, all over the country. And that seemed to be, you know, how everything was going. And sometimes for the subject matter, sometimes that's comfortable, sometimes it's not. So now seeing this explosion of online classes, I'm seeing, I guess I feel a little better about it than I did, you know, going from the in-person to the online. At first, you know, I kind of felt like, well, okay, is this really going to be a good thing? But now I'm seeing it from a totally different perspective. And I'm wondering to some degree that the people in the university world, you know, as far as you know, do they feel that something's going to be lost if you're taking it from the in-person to the online?
That's also a really interesting question. So I do think that something is lost. And I don't think that anybody really thinks that when you take an online course that you get everything that you would get when you're in a classroom with other people. But you can get a lot of it, and you can get more than you might think. And then what's also interesting to me is that what you see the platforms, the MOOC platforms doing is replicating kind of different components of what you get in the classroom. So the lecture component is very easy to replicate. If you're just sitting in a large lecture hall, you're not getting a whole lot more personal interaction than you would get by looking at a screen and watching that lecture on video.
Right.
But then some of the other elements, you know, discussion with classmates or graded assignments, things like that. It's been interesting to see how the platforms have tried to replicate those components of the education as well, and with varying degrees of success.
Yeah, I can imagine, because that it also probably depends on how people like to learn as well. Do you think?
Totally.
Because everything is not visual, and some people prefer audio or certain kinds of interaction. You know, it's very interesting that you can really tailor all this now compared to how it was in school back in the day when it was a lot of
Really true.
You know, just memorization.
And actually, your example of a writing course is one of the things that's probably, in my opinion, one of the most difficult things to replicate in an online environment. But a lot of what I was trying to learn in my business education were things that you would typically learn in a large lecture class, where it's a lot about the information, you know, just delivery of content. And delivery of content is pretty easy to do in an online format.
Yes.
Some of the other, you know, more interactive things can be much more difficult. But that one thing is pretty easy.
That's true. Yeah. It depends, I guess, on what you're delivering. Know, what the thing is that you're, teaching. But, you know, as we know, going to school can take, years for some people who seem like they never want to leave, but it can take a large commitment. And it seems to me there's a lot of flexibility on the online world that
absolutely,
you know, maybe you don't have to take years to do this, you know.
Totally.
So I mean, how can they decide when you don't have that traditional framework? Like, how do you decide now how much time I'm going to spend on this online course, or how, or what, even what should be involved in my online learning?
So this is a lot of what I try to answer in the book, because I think it is overwhelming to people. I mean, there I don't think anybody questions the idea that there is a complete MBA out there, that information is available to all of us. There's probably, you know, you could do an MBA 10 different ways and never have any overlap in your courses, and you would still have classes left over that you didn't have time to take. And that's overwhelming to people. I mean, how do you go out there and then decide from this, you know, massive ocean of classes that's out there, how do I decide just the ones that I'm going to have in my particular curriculum? And so the way I recommend doing that in the book is to kind of walk yourself through a progression, so that you're not trying to map out the entire thing from day one, but rather you're kind of doing a process of even like hypothesis testing. So you start out with some fundamental knowledge, you know, what you would get like in your first year of an MBA program, which is really setting a foundation, having a common language that you speak that other business people also speak. And then from there, progressing to some of the skills that everyone in business ought to know, you know, things like being able to read a financial statement, being able to produce high quality communications materials, being able to conduct a negotiation, you know, things like that. And then from there, moving into a very narrow skill set that you're really going to develop, and taking that out into the real world and putting it into practice in some kind of real scenario. And from there, then if you are contemplating a career change, to move into your field of choice.
And I'm guessing that there's like counselors or advisors or people who are, say, would let you know, well, if I want to focus on this sort of thing, that, you know, okay, this is what you should do.
Exactly. So in a typical MBA program, you would have an advisor. And so one of the things that I say in the introduction to my book is I would like to be your MBA advisor. And I kind of keep that up throughout the book. So each chapter has advisors' challenges that are kind of like the practical, you know, how do you put this into practice? But I'm also a huge fan of coaching in general. So I also think there's probably a role for a lot of people who are considering getting an MBA, that you may be just as well served by doing your own program of kind of like putting together the knowledge that you really, really need, but then really investing in some high quality coaching to help you make that transition to whatever it is that you're going to do next.
That's true. That's a good point. So that way you can have a better idea of where you're going, what you're going to need, you know, to get there. But as far as people doing this kind of thing and designing their courses, I mean, is there an idea of what the fundamentals are? Let's say you are designing your own MBA, let's say. What are, you know, are there some fields of study or things that you really should always include?
Yeah, so I think there are. I mean, I think there are, I guess I put those things into several buckets, and mm-hmm. I would say one bucket is financial and quantitative, that you ought to have some knowledge of finance and accounting. Another bucket would be management and leadership, so that you should have some idea how to, you know, manage a project, manage a team, how to be a good leader, how to communicate with people. And then there's a third category, which I call big picture thinking, mm-hmm. Which is things like entrepreneurial thinking, marketing, you know, trying to understand, like, in the big picture, you know, what is it that the customer wants and how do I deliver it to them? So those are kind of the areas that I would think that anybody who is getting a business education ought to cover. But then within that, there is a whole lot of variation in terms of what somebody might need to get, depending on their particular situation.
What I think is kind of interesting right now, excuse me, for better or worse, is, you know, like we're talking about, a lot of these courses are out here that are geared to people starting businesses and, you know, from an entrepreneurial perspective. And I think to some degree there is a, I don't know, I hate to say danger, but it seems like for some training, however you want to call it, people aren't really talking about a lot of things you just mentioned. They may be focused more on the website or branding, but not on the fundamentals. You know, do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, I don't want to look at it as a negative, but in a way, I wonder if the average person taking advantage of a lot of these courses is really getting everything they need.
Yeah, I think that is a danger, that if you just focus on the website that, or the very particular thing that you're working on at that moment, that you might miss, you know, some of the bigger picture. And that's why I think it's so interesting and so such a benefit to people who are learning right now, that there's a variety of courses available on that are coming from both academic institutions, which in my mm-hmm. experience give more of the theoretical side, that kind of give you a grounding in what is business, what is the role of a business, how does business work in a general sense. Mm-hmm. And then you've got these more professional courses that are really helpful once you know what your business is, you know what need it's serving, you know kind of where it fits, and then these kind of more professional courses can help you with really targeted solutions. True. So I think there's a role for both.
So, I mean, in going, I guess, into the future of all this online training, I mean, if you're getting courses from a university, anyway, they're going to give you some kind of certification or something that says, okay, we say that these courses have this value, but what happens when a person's designing their coursework and they really want to know, am I doing the right thing? And I know we talk about advisors and coaches, but is there any kind of accredited thing that you think will have to happen at some point so that people will know that what I'm doing is what I should be doing and this really has value, as opposed to maybe being faced with all these choices and maybe a lot of different learning platforms and not knowing if they're really getting what they think they're getting?
So this is such a huge question. I'm going to try to answer it without, you know, taking 2 hours of your listeners' time. This is one of the things that is so interesting about the world of online learning. And like I said, I could talk for 2 hours about this topic, but to kind of be brief about it, one of the things that I think is really exciting about online learning, and particularly for entrepreneurs, is that an entrepreneur doesn't need somebody to say, you got the right business education. Mm-hmm. They need mm-hmm. to figure it out for themselves. In the mm-hmm. same way that entrepreneurs are charting new territory in terms of what they're offering to the market, they're creating something that's new and playing by their own rules. To me, this is the entrepreneur's education, because mm-hmm. this is you playing by your own rules and not needing somebody to say, okay, you did it exactly right. You took supply chain management, and then you took leadership, and then you took marketing. Good job. Mm-hmm. However, I do hear your point about, is there some way, you know, some third party verification for somebody to be able to say, okay, we see this job applicant, they did a good job, we should hire them. Mm-hmm. I guess what I would say is that I think the methods that people are using right now are pretty crude, in fact, that if what we're using is as a proxy for is somebody going to be good at this job is just to say, okay, they went to a good school and they graduated.
Mm-hmm.
Does that really tell us how good they're going to be at the job? And in my opinion, that the answer is no. Mm-hmm. Maybe it does for some applicants, maybe it doesn't for other applicants. So I do think that there is space in the market for an entrepreneurial solution to this problem, some better, you know, matching of targeted coursework to future employment. Mm-hmm. And there are some companies that are working on that. But for the moment, I would say that when it comes to credentialing, that the universities really do still have a corner on that market. So there mm-hmm. are some MBA programs and some other kinds of programs as well that are administered through a MOOC, through MOOC format. So you can take the courses online, and in many cases, they're free and open to whoever wants to take them. But if you want that certification at the end, you know, you want the rubber stamp that says this person completed an MBA, you're still going to pay a lot for that.
Because I think the way of thinking, you know, for some people is, well, that certification or that diploma or that thing that says, you know, you've accomplished this and you've got that side of it. Then you've got people who may have life experience or, like you said, people who have learned, you know, from maybe different online platforms, but it's not something that's accredited and you know, in big letters there. But what they've learned is as important, you know, so it almost
absolutely.
Seems, yeah, you know, so I don't, I think in our culture and the way we're used to looking at things, we're looking at that certification, that thing now says you're okay. And
right.
Yeah, and what happens in a world where that kind of goes away or it's not as important as it used to be because people are joining mm-hmm. more. You know, this is really going to be very disruptive and in a good way, I think.
I agree. And it could be scary too. You can think, well, I mean, yes. if I'm putting this effort in, you know, is it worth anything? Like,
right.
how are people going to evaluate me if I don't have that
right.
gold standard credential? But I do think that it, in many ways, is going to be a boon to people because, if you think about it, if you think about what happens in a degree program, like maybe you finish your college degree when you're 21, 22, is that supposed to carry you for another 30, 40 years?
Right.
I mean, our world is changing so fast that how can that education possibly last you your entire career? And how can that possibly be the best way of evaluating whether you're an appropriate candidate for whatever job it is that you're trying to get?
Exactly. That's true. And I think maybe in ways... the systems haven't really caught up with the technology.
That's
for
right.
sure.
Absolutely.
It so it's like, wow. I mean, when you are talking to people in the university setting or interacting with them, how do they look at this? Are they really excited to get on board or are they raising some of these same concerns also, do you think?
Well, what I found very heartening and really fun about my interactions with people in universities is that, number one, most people who work for universities are there to serve students. And mm-hmm. so these educators, the professors that are producing these courses, are so excited that they're reaching a huge audience and that they're furthering their mission as educators of reaching excited students around the world, in many cases, people who couldn't afford to go to a traditional university. Mm-hmm. So that's a really cool energy that's part of this. And then I love the many of the universities that are pushing the envelope on this, you know, that are offering new programs or that are trying to push the boundary of how much can we offer at as low of a price mm-hmm. as possible, including free. They're really not driven by a profit motive. They're driven by a motive that is all about education and the betterment of society. And that's a very exciting thing to be part of as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that's really what it really should come down to, actually.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, that's really what it should come down to. But, you know, because I was thinking around the time of the financial implosion, and I remember seeing a couple of people saying that one person in particular was going to sue their university because their degree wasn't going to help them to find a job. And I was like,
wow.
Oh my goodness. yeah, I think it was around, probably 08, 09. I started to see mm-hmm. that on different blogs and some, you know, people lining up on either side of it as to pros and cons and was this, should you be doing this and should you expect to get a job because you have a degree. You know, this gentleman was saying, well, you shouldn't, because it's just learning, I guess, for the sake of learning. But on the other side, people figuring, well, I got this to help me to advance, and it's not helping me. So it was very interesting, because that was the first time I'd actually really seen people voice that opinion. Maybe, you know, we could have all had it. We were trying to pay tuition, but you didn't say it out loud.
So. Right. And, you know, this is one of the areas in which having a business education, I feel like, has been just a very important grounding to be able to be part of these kinds of conversations. To answer that question, having a finance background is so helpful to figure out, is it really worth it to get a degree? I mean, in some ways, that is a financial question. Is there a return on that investment of time and money? And, you know, I'm sure many people in your audience, and I'm sure we both agree that learning is wonderful, and learning for its own sake is great. But if it comes at a price of $100,000, is it still worth it to take those courses if there isn't a payoff at the end? You know, I certainly don't think so. So I think having that kind of background in some of those business topics like finance can really help you to evaluate even just everyday questions.
Right. Well, that's true. Because I remember in school having to take logic and some other things, and I was like, what am I going to do with this when I leave here? How is this helping me to do anything? But it was like, okay, this is a course of study, but I'm like, well, how do you apply this in the real world when you leave here, or what is this teaching me to do? And those are questions I was asking at that point in my life, and I still do, because I didn't really use
totally
those things. But you realize how much of that's kind of built into the structure, and it just seemed like maybe the people who created that weren't thinking about, okay, is someone going to use this later? How are you supposed to use it? Or, you know, being told I was supposed to learn about algebra in high school, which I hated, but I liked trigonometry because I'm a visual person. So right. That made sense to me, but the other thing didn't. So how many people go through these courses thinking, oh, I'm not smart in this, or I'm not good in that, but it's just the way it's presented, or maybe I didn't really need to take, I was told to take math to help you think, but I learned more about critical thinking taking English courses. So it's like, okay, you know, who we create this system for? So I'm really glad that this online thing that's growing, you know, maybe will grow in other, you know, levels of education as well, but it looks like it's much more that the person can tailor, or things can be tailored more for the how a person learns. So it looks like this right. is really a revolution that can really come and spread throughout the education system.
I agree. And I think what's wonderful for a person who is working and who is a professional who is professionally motivated is that you really can take courses that are just tailored to your particular needs at that moment, and then apply those lessons immediately, or see examples of what you're learning in the classroom immediately on the job. And that's so gratifying as a student. And it's really a strong source of motivation as well. I think what you're kind of talking about, a you know, complete overhaul of education, which I think could be coming. And that's a very exciting prospect. Because we do have a system that doesn't necessarily serve all students, and that is our time spent in education institutions is so removed from our time out in the workforce. Yeah. I think it's those be more porous boundaries. And it sort of makes sense that some of that change would start with professionals who already have some background in education, who probably aren't going to go back into an institution, but who still have educational needs that need to be met. So I can see that the change could really happen for those people first, and then maybe it'll trickle down to the rest of education, and that's a very exciting prospect as well.
Right, that's true. Yeah, you know, that's probably a bit massive idea right this minute, but you know, you can see how exciting it would be. You know, if at least I'm sure other countries and things they're doing different things. I you know have read about different innovations, but it's kind of exciting to think that. You know, we could just start to look at all of this, you know, a lot differently than we have been. You know,
exactly.
I think it would be really taking advantage of the technologies and everything that that's going on these days, and kind of looking ahead instead of trying to hold on to maybe what is no longer, you know, working as well.
Absolutely.
When it comes to business owners who really want to take advantage of this and take courses and really add to their knowledge, or not even business owners, even just, you know, professionals who are like, okay, I want to jump in and take advantage of this. But, you know, how can you really decide how you're going to take these courses, timing and all that? And then you've got to fit this into your schedule. You know, it's not like being in school anymore where you could just, that's what you're doing. You know, what would you suggest for people who are just trying to find a way to really add to their education, take advantage of all these courses that are out here now?
So I recommend that people take a detailed look at their schedule and see if they can carve out some time for online courses. And I recommend for each course that you budget between 4 and 6 hours per week per course. So for most people, most working professionals, that's kind of a big ask. So I think one course at a time is a very respectable number of courses to be taking. I wouldn't try to load on any more than that if you're working a full-time job, mm-hmm. Especially as you're starting out. But yeah, I think it's a good idea to be really precious about that time that you spend educating yourself, and to make that investment in yourself and find some time on the weekend or on the evening, and stick to that. You have it blocked out on your calendar and really give that to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. If you really want to take, you know, the opportunity to add to what you know and enhance your knowledge, then, you know, it's something that you really can take the time to fit in and just create that course of study. And it seems like you will be able to fit it into your schedule. You know, it's not something that you have to show up at a certain time, say every week or whatever, that people really have the flexibility to put it in when they can. So,
you know, it's just like any other big project that nobody is kind of hovering over you, telling you that you have to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just one of those things that it's a gift that you give to yourself, and it's something that you're accountable only to yourself for, but it's really important.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So yeah, you really have to look at it from that perspective. Do you find that these courses, a lot of these courses, are much less expensive than going to school or going back to school? Or does it depend?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, much less expensive. I mean, if you think that when you go to a regular college course, you might be paying $1,000 per credit hour, mm-hmm. Online courses that you find that cover an equivalent amount of material might cost you $50 if you want a certificate. They might cost you nothing if you don't want a certificate. They might cost you $10 if you're taking more of a professional course that's taught by someone who's in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about courses that are extremely affordable.
Wow, that is a big difference from going back.
Yeah,
that is.
Now, the caveat is that they're not credit bearing in most cases. So if you, for whatever reason, need to buy into the university credit system, mm-hmm. you're going to have to pay for that. Mm-hmm. But if you want just the content and the material and the education, that can come at a very, very low price.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would have to be good news to a lot of people who would want to take advantage of getting additional education. But then, of course, you know, the cost coming up is a big problem that may stop a lot of people from going back or feeling like, do I really want to make this kind of investment at this point? You know, there's other priorities you may have.
You know,
later on when you're in business or whatever it is you're doing, it may not seem as attractive to go back and do that. So yeah, I could see how this would be a much better deal. But I guess also another question I have is as far as the idea of the online MBA, do you think that an MBA is still going to have the same, I don't want to say value, but is it going to be the same cachet? Do you think going forward that people still going to say, you know, that makes a big difference to say I have an MBA, or do you think that kind of thing may not be as important?
I sort of think it depends on the industry. I think there may be some industries where an MBA is still required, and some people may get a value out of having one. Mm-hmm. But I also think that there is a case to be made that having an MBA could even be a negative signal in some senses, because mm-hmm. that this information is out there. Why would you pay $100,000 to get it when you don't need to pay that much in order to have the same education, essentially? Mm-hmm. And so when you look at it that way, an MBA sort of just becomes a very expensive kind of price of admission to an exclusive network. Mm-hmm. To me, I much prefer kind of a more idealistic take on education. And I think there's something to be said for people who have kind of gone a self-made route and who are able to have that kind of drive and determination for something where it's not, someone else telling them how to study and when and what to study.
I think that's very true for some people who may feel, okay, I need to get that. Or, of course, as you said, it may depend on the industry. There may be certain things that, you have to do to kind of fit into that. But in other ways, maybe it's not quite the thing that some people may say, or, they just may have heard that, oh, I think I need this, but then they're not really sure how they're really going to apply this to their lives. It's a big commitment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow, that is good. Definitely a different way of looking at a lot of the things that, we may have been told should be this way, but maybe it's time to look at all of this a little differently. Laura, could you please share where people can find you and also your book and everything?
So the best place to find me is at my website, which is nopaymba.com. That's all one word, nopaymba. The contact form on the website goes directly to me. I also run a Facebook group. It's the No Pay MBA Facebook group where independent business learners can meet each other and have conversation. And then my book is called Don't Pay for Your MBA, and it's available wherever books are sold.
Wonderful. Yeah, because I think more people probably need to be aware of this, that this conversation is going on, and much more aware that they do have options for learning. Because I know a couple of people, one person in particular works in the financial industry, and she didn't complete her college degree, and, she has credits, but she didn't complete it, and that has made a difference to the type of work that she's been able to get, though she definitely loves numbers and she's very good. She does some accounting things on the side. So she has the ability and she has experience. She's worked on Wall Street and these different companies, but it's that degree that stops her from getting the position that she probably should be getting, in the corporate setting. So it's very interesting.
To me, that's kind of an old-fashioned way of thinking. I mean, you're talking about somebody who I would imagine is very talented. Why should a degree stop her, or the lack of a degree stop her from getting that promotion?
Right. I've wondered that myself. I've wondered that myself because she loves it. And I don't know too many other people love that kind of thing. But, she just loves doing that. She loves numbers and, she's doing some things on her own on the side. So I'm like, well, okay, this is the same knowledge here. So what's the difference between this and her going into a workplace and doing that same thing? So it's interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you look at the technology industry, where you really see people evaluating candidates based on skills, and mm-hmm. and there's a lot of emphasis on, can you show me what you can do? If you're saying mm-hmm. you're a programmer, what can you do? Show me evidence. Mm-hmm. I really think that ethos is going to translate into other businesses and, mm-hmm. and those businesses that choose to kind of put their heads in the sand and say, no, we just need a traditional credential and we don't care mm-hmm. about anything else. They're going to be left behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that because you can't hold on to that forever considering how things are going. And I know when I was in IT, I got training and everything before I got my job at AT&T. And then when they need you to learn a new language, they would send you to their training for a couple of weeks. When you came out, you had to hit the ground running. So you learned yourself because you want to keep up with the market. So maybe you're checking to see what's coming, and maybe you're going to pay out of your pocket if they didn't offer those courses there. Maybe you would find ways, to learn that if you couldn't really find those things within the company. So it was always a sense that you always had to be learning and keeping up with what was coming. It's you kind of trained yourself in that way. And I can see how this could be a very good thing for people to have at their fingertips, a way to do that, you know, not having to go and chase it down like we did back then, but, you know, you could check out an online course and see if this is something you want to pursue and not spend thousands and thousands of dollars to do it. Which is,
precisely.
Yeah, that's not easy to do for most people. So I could see how this is really going to open up a lot of doors. And, you know, I think it's a really great idea for this. I'm just going to, you know, get ready to wrap up. I was curious if people want to find out more about B-Schools and things. Is it just a matter of maybe doing a query online, or are there certain websites that people can go to so they can find out what schools are offering online courses?
Yes. So the biggest MOOC platform is called Coursera. So that there are a lot of courses there. Mm-hmm. Another big one is called edX. But I would recommend that people who are new to the world of online learning go to a website called Class Central. Mm-hmm. So it's classcentral.com. And there you will find a complete search engine that really has pretty much every MOOC that's ever been made, searchable, filterable, and you can find the courses that'll work for you on almost any topic.
Oh, wow. That's terrific. Wow. I'm going to have to go check that out. See what's going on over there. Yeah, I do think it's exciting, you know, because I've taken a couple courses just in teaching myself Photoshop, and it's really great that you could just go and, you know, someone who's the expert is walking you through it, as opposed to just trying to figure, you know, so many things you really can't do on your own because you really need to have that expert guiding you. But, you know, these are things you couldn't have done before without going to a school, you know,
right,
and paying a lot more money. So it's just amazing what has opened up, and I hope that more people take advantage of it. Lori, do you have any final thoughts on what we've been discussing?
I would just encourage any of your listeners who are interested in online courses, especially the entrepreneurs out there, to just Google free course on X topic, whatever that topic is that's been on your mind, and just see what comes up. Because I think you may be surprised and intrigued by what you find.
That's a great idea. Just go right to the source and find what you're looking for. I hope more people will realize that there are courses out there and there are opportunities. And I'm really excited, Lori, that you came and shared this information, because you know, I think more and more people need to hear that and just take it all in their own hands. You know, this is just really exciting. Exciting time. So thank you so much for joining me, Lori. This has been a wonderful conversation.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Okay, everyone. Now you enjoyed it. Please make sure you share this with your friends. Share it on social media. Check out those websites and Lori's book and her site. So everyone, once again, it's Women Entrepreneurs Radio with your host, Deborah Bailey. So glad you could join me today. And we'll see you again next time. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us. You can also join in the conversation on facebook.com/womenentrepreneurs and on the website womenentrepreneursecrets.com. And don't forget to listen in on dvcoach.podomatic.com and on iTunes.